Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, welcome back to Give Us Morg. I'm Neve, and Megan needs to sneeze.
Yeah, no, it's gone. Okay. Yeah. It's going to come back to me, but much worse.
Welcome back to Give Us Morg.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what to say. Hi.
I hate when you need to sneeze and then it disappears.
Unless you're like trying to make it disappear. Do you ever try that trick when you need to sneeze and you don't want to sneeze and you like use your finger to tickle the roof of your mouth?
No, I've never done that.
Try it. It works a treat.
It's not the weirdest one I've ever heard, to be honest.
Why, what have you heard?
There was look into the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just burn your retinas.
You know, that'll stop you needing to sneeze. Or say the word carrot.
Carrot. Is it because it starts at the back of your mouth and ends at the front?
I don't know. I'm glad to say I've never tried either.
No, like a normal person just allows their sneeze to go through.
Never, like, you know, in the middle of the street and I just go, carrot.
No, never?
No, never.
It's pastime for me.
They're like, is she okay? And the answer everybody is looking for is no.
All right. So today we are going to be talking about the Genesee River Killer, also known as Arthur Shock. Also known as Arthur Shawcross. That's
hello, it. Hello, Arthur. Welcome to the chat.
Okay, just before we go anywhere, this man, he looks like the mixture of Peter Griffin and a cockatiel bird merged together as one.
Out of everything and everybody I thought you were going to mix together, that is not what I was expecting.
Okay, I'm about to send you in the chat the link and you'll see a photo of him. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, what?
What?
My access was denied.
Excuse me. Oh, yeah, okay. Why do I have it private? That is, it's on givesmorg@gmail.com, though. Oh, my God.
I just, access denied.
Okay, I'm going to send it again.
Megan just keeping this information to herself.
Gatekeeping Arthur Shawcross.
Because who doesn't want to do that? Oh my God. His neck and his chin are melted together.
I never even noticed that. His neck, chin area looks like saggy testicles.
It looks like a saggy sack of balls. And his head is the wiener.
Do you see what I'm talking about, though, with the Peter Griffin and cockatiel merged together?
Yes.
I think it's the way he has his hair, because you know the way cockatiels do that thing with fur feathers?
But he has, like, the Peter Griffin face.
Yeah. And the glasses and everything.
Yeah. And then his neck is just a ball sack.
Quite like Peter Griffin's chin is a ball sack.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, guys. You heard it first here.
All right. Let's go into him. Arthur Shaw. Okay, his name is going to piss me off. Arthur Shaw.
Shawcross.
Arthur Shaw Cross was born on June 6th, 1945. And for some reason, I felt like that date was like special.
1945? So I Googled it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, June 6th. And I learned that it was the same day that the Russians announced that they had found Hitler's charred body alongside three others, which were also charged because when the troops advanced into the bunker, they advanced with the flamethrower. Fun fact.
I mean, we all love it that Hitler died, so.
I mean, I'm not sad about it that he died and then was charred by a flamethrower.
I want to know if listeners believe in the theory, the conspiracy theory, that he didn't actually die in the bunker. Do you believe in that?
I have heard that. And when these scientists, well, yeah, because they took this body and they identified it. I think they said like they're 98% sure that it was Hitler.
Mm-hmm. He was like reportedly sighted in like 46 and 47. But he's supposed to be dead.
I wonder if he kept the stash. Like if you're Hitler and you're like being hunted, are you going to keep your mustache?
No, stash has to go. That's how you're going to be identified immediately.
Or he could, you know, just pretend he's Charlie Chaplin.
It's not as if it was going to be popular after that. So
no, not at all. And why was it ever popular in the first place? Why are we just talking about a little muff?
I feel sorry for Charlie Chaplin though, because you know he thought he had this bomb ass stash. And then along comes this dude and ruins it for everybody. No, nobody can have that stash.
Poor Charlie. So anyway.
Back to Shawcross.
I can't say his name. Arthur is probably going to be a bit of an issue for me as well. But anyway, we'll try.
You picked him.
I did. So Arthur was born 1 month premature in a naval hospital in Kittery, Maine, to his 18-year-old mother, Bessie, and 21-year-old father, Arthur Roy. He was the first of four children. Bessie would go on to have two girls and a boy, Donna, Jean, and Jimmy. Arthur was born with XVY syndrome, which only affects males and is caused by an extra Y chromosome.
Oh yes, I've heard of this.
Yep. So signs of XVY syndrome include being very tall, severe acne in adolescence, increased impulsivity, and those who have it may have an increased risk of having learning difficulties.
Are you okay? Megan cannot talk.
So what I find interesting is that it actually affects roughly every one in 1,000 boys.
That's
pretty common.
A lot more common than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. Richard Speck is another killer who you might have heard of having it. But it turns out he was misdiagnosed. And strangely enough, your chromosomes don't make you evil.
What? You mean it's not in their body?
I feel like it's not the chromosomes anyway. I mean, maybe we got a head injury or two in here, but it's not your chromosome.
I do find the nature versus nurture very interesting.
Very interesting. But we've got a sick mixture of the two in here.
We love that.
Bessie moved the family to Watertown, New York, while Arthur's dad was in the military. By the time Arthur was five, he was showing signs of being behind developmentally. He was still using baby talk, one source said, and was wetting the bed. Now, show me a five-year-old that has never had an accident, but this like bedwetting situation was chronic. And it did continue throughout like his whole teenage years and everything. It was said that Arthur was, quote, socially challenged and that his weird standout demeanor earned him the nickname of Oddie from his classmates.
I mean,
Oddie isn't exactly very...
I've heard meaner nicknames in my time.
Yeah. It didn't help his case when he got on the school bus one day with a lead pipe and threatened the students with it.
No, that would not help anybody.
Nope. Does not.
Yeah, no.
By the age of eight, Arthur was a bully at school and loved picking fights. He had done well in school before, but his teachers noted that he had, quote, lazy work habits.
Sames, to be honest.
He had run away from home multiple times, which could be attributed to physical and sexual abuse in the home at the hands of his parents and his aunt, which was really his mother's girlfriend. At age nine, Arthur's mother, Bessie, found out that her husband had been having an affair with a woman in Australia and he had a whole child with her. a whole other family. They didn't separate, but the dynamic of their relationship changed. It's also at this age that Arthur hit his head on a rock. I read in one source from having a fucking rock fight with someone. All right. I remember the good old days of having rock fights, don't you?
Shockingly, no.
I wonder if it's because you were so bad at rock fights.
It could have been because I was so terrible at rock fights. Or it could have been because who the fuck is having rock fights? First of all, where are your parents letting you fling rocks at one another? Probably putting bets on them as well.
Just standing there smoking a cigarette like,
my Arthur's gonna whip your son. You bitch, yeah.
As always, I will have the sources for this in the show notes, and if this eventually hits the blog on the website.
I'm making my way through my stuff at the moment. There's a backlog.
Of like 54 episodes or something. Arthur repeated grades growing up and continued to wet the bed and bully other children. At age 11, Arthur was caught masturbating by his mother, which in itself is bad enough. But he claims that Bessie threatened him with a knife and then sexually assaulted him with a broom handle afterwards.
Oh, Bessie, no.
That's normal sexual development, if you ask me.
Girl. Yeah, of course he's going to masturbate. He's a fucking teenage boy.
2 years later, he moved with his family into a house they'd built near Brownsville, New York. Around age 14, Arthur claims he started to have sexual relationships with his siblings, particularly his sister Jean, I think, and his cousins. At this point, he also started having sex with farm animals and torturing them.
That just took like a whole different leap. You can only be so gross.
You can literally only be so gross. Now, I do feel sorry for him here. Arthur says that he was raped by a man who forced him into his car with a knife to his throat. He brutally raped him and then dropped him home. At age 16, Arthur was hit in the head with a discus, which landed him a 4-day stint in the hospital, which is his second major head injury.
So first of all, he's having rock fights, and now he's having discus fights.
I think it was like during PE or something.
Yeah, they were probably...
But who's like, it's a discus, guys. Okay, what happened to like throwing a ball? I feel like,
you know, he should have been made stand clear of whoever was throwing it.
Discus fights. It reminds me of that movie Zoolander, when they're having like, they're at the petrol station and they're just pouring like petrol all over each other.
Yeah. And then like one of them goes to light a cigarette. Love that movie.
It's an amazing movie. He dropped out of school at age 17 and started setting fires, being a peeping Tom, and stealing. He's a peeping Arthur. An atrocious Arthur.
What a career choice.
What do you want to be when you grow up? An arsonist. A peeping Tom.
A peeping thief. Tom. Thief. I want to rob shit.
Rob shit and cause chaos. In 1963, Arthur was caught trying to break into a Sears store, shop, whatever. And he was given 18 months probation. It was around this time that he met his first wife, Sarah Chatterton, and they had a son about a year later that they named Michael. At this time, Arthur was seriously unable to keep a job. Like, he just could not do it. Like, no matter how menial it was, how chill it was.
Like, he couldn't keep a job because he was just unfortunate and really terrible at work, or because he was just a dickhead.
Probably a mixture of both. Like, his teacher said that he had lazy work habits, so he probably just wasn't interested in doing anything. Yeah. At age 20, Arthur hit a boy who'd thrown a snowball at his car and received 6 months probation. Not long after, Sarah divorced Arthur, citing abuse. He signed away all of his parental rights and he never saw his son again. Like, never.
I mean, that has to be rough on the son, but also thank God for the son, because, yeah, you know, from what we're about to learn, Arthur is a bit of a wanker.
Literally. In 1966, Arthur was drafted into the army, and in the same year he suffered another head injury after falling off of a ladder.
Bro, what are you doing with your life?
How do you have 3 head injuries by the age, like, I think he's 20? I don't think I've even had one. Yeah, though I did hit my brother on the head with a hammer accidentally.
Was it accidentally?
It was. Okay, so we were kids and there was a can of Coke out on the ground, like it was empty. And my brother,
you didn't tell me this before.
Yeah. My brother called me out and he's like, "Hey, this is so much fucking fun. Get out here. Get out here, bitch, and do this." I was like, "Sweet. All right. All right, let's roll." And he stood behind me as I swung the hammer. Now, thank God it was the flat side. And I hit him on the head. And then he ran around in circles screaming. And I was like, "Retreat." I ran back to my room. And I was like, "I didn't do anything. I am an angel."
Oh my God, what happened?
I did feel super bad, though. I feel bad even now thinking about it.
You heard it here first. Megan tried to murder her brother.
Eek. It was in 1967 Arthur left for Vietnam, but not before meeting and marrying Linda Neary pretty quickly. I think they got married after like just kind of like a few weeks, maybe a couple of months.
Girl is living my dream. I'm over here waiting 4 years. A house and a baby.
I have nothing to say to that. I have no response.
The silence is deafening.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, at least it's on Carl's list.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, I didn't even make it on Niall's list of priorities.
You're done. Okay. You're done.
Oh, the pain. I live in Spain without the S. In 1968, Arthur began his proper tour of duty in Vietnam. Before, he'd just been a supply parts specialist, you know, he's just chilling.
Okay. He was just like toddling around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, he loved his time in Vietnam because, he said it himself. He said, it teaches you to kill. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. He said at one point that he found two Vietnamese women hiding in a bush, apparently hiding some guns. And he took them and he raped one of the women and shot her in the head before tying another to a tree and decapitating her and then cooking and eating part of her thigh.
That, first of all, is all unnecessary. But did you really have to eat her?
Now, this report comes from Arthur himself, and it wouldn't be unlike him to embellish the truth or to just flat out lie, just for funsies.
Oh, okay, okay. So maybe he didn't eat her thigh?
Maybe he didn't, and we'll find out. We will. He, at this time, went to see a psychiatrist and apparently attempted suicide by overdosing, but I only found that like in one source, so.
It's unclear on if he did actually or not.
Yeah, exactly. In the spring of 1969, he was discharged from the army and returned home to his mother. After 3 days, his mother turned to him and said, "Aren't you going to go and, you know, go home to your wife?" Because he had forgotten that he was married. Like, it would have been better for her if he had forgotten, because when he did go back to Linda, he became increasingly aggressive and he actually did beat her. Linda then filed for divorce in the fall of that year because she was like, no.
I can't believe, first of all, you forgot you were married. The audacity.
Yeah.
Would have divorced him right then and there.
I know, right? I wonder if he came home and he was like, I came home to Linda and was like, "Hey, I just got home this morning, just in from Vietnam. It was a tough time." In December 1969, he was sentenced to 5 years in Attica for setting fire to a paper mill and a cheese company, something that he would never talk about, saying that there were a few people involved in that. So I don't know, maybe he got paid and they were like, "Hey, you know who really likes to set fire? It's this Artie guy. I'm gonna..."
First of all, why are you setting fire to a cheese factory?
Yeah, that's just a disservice.
Sentence him to death right then and there.
Now, in Attica, Arthur claimed that he'd been raped by multiple men and was moved to Auburn Prison. And then he served 11 months of that 5-year sentence because during a riot, which apparently was racially motivated, he helped a prison guard get out alive. Like, he saved a prison guard's life. So they were like, "You know what? You could get some...
You know what? You're not that bad."
No, you're just a serial arsonist, but it's whatever. Cool.
But jokes on them.
Jokes on them, faux show. Because once Arthur settled back into his hometown of Watertown in New York, he reconnected with a woman called Penny Sherbino, who he actually knew from school. They started dating in January of 1992. That's probably supposed to be 1972. My God, Megan. Why did I write that? And married in April of the same year. So this is his third marriage already. He's a fast.
He's mover. Marrying out left, right, and center, and he looks like that, and I can't even get one goddamn ring.
What is going on?
What is happening to the world?
I don't know. On the 4th of April 1972, 10-year-old boy Jack Blake went missing. Jack had been out fishing that morning with Arthur, and when Jack's mother came looking for him that evening, Arthur said he hadn't seen him. His body was found in a wooded area on September 5th. The truth was that Jack had been raped, beaten, and had leaves stuffed down his throat. Arthur later claimed to have eaten Jack's heart and part of his genitals. Then in September of the same year, 8-year-old girl Karen Ann Hill went missing. Her body was actually found 4 days before Jack's body had been found. She had been raped, strangled, and had grass stuffed down her throat and up her nose. Police found that Arthur had been seen with Karen Ann that day and had been spotted sitting on the bridge that she'd been found under, eating ice cream on the day that she'd been killed. This man is a total psychopath.
Clearly.
And he was very brazen as well to do it to children that he'd been seen with that day.
Yeah, like...
Very brazen. Arthur was arrested on October 5th. The local police were made aware of Arthur's erratic behaviour, having apparently spanked a local child and had stuffed grass down his trousers, and I don't know why, but he did it. Arthur was given a plea deal, so he pleaded guilty to the two murders, but only faced manslaughter charges for the murder of Karen Ann, and no charges at all for Jack.
What?
Yeah, so they basically wanted him to...
It was more important to them to get him to confess.
Exactly.
And admit to it.
For closure for Jack's family, but he never actually suffered the consequences of his actions for Jack.
That is infuriating.
Or for Karen Ann.
That's infuriating.
Yeah, it's literally like the system was like, hey, you're a serial murderer who kills kids. Great, let me help you out.
Sickening.
He was sentenced to 25 years... which he went off to Attica to complete. Later that year, he was transferred to Greenhaven Correctional Facility, a maximum security prison in New York. He got divorced from Penny. Strangely enough, I wonder why she didn't want to stay with him. Now, I did hear a few things. The gossip around town was that he initiated the divorce because she didn't want to visit him in prison. And then I heard that she wanted to divorce because of what he'd done.
I really hope to God... It's that she initiated the divorce because, you know, he murdered children.
I would hope so. I would really
and not because she was like, oh, I don't want to go visit you in prison, you psycho.
Like, Attica is like far away.
It's going to like eat up my Saturday and like I wanted to get my nails done.
That's actually me though. Arthur impressed the parole board by doing classes in prison and getting his GED and spending a lot of time with prison psychologists.
Wow, they're very easy to impress.
Extremely. At first, one psychologist believed Arthur to understand that what he had done was wrong and that he was actually working on himself for a release back into society. But yeah, as sure this man, as this man spent more time observing Arthur, he knew that he was actually indeed a very dangerous man, noticing that under any sort of stress, Arthur would give in to like his violent kind of sexual desires. So that's great. But the board was like, whatever.
You may have gone to college for several years to get this degree. We're not going to listen to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to just do our own thing. We've decided to part ways. You're done.
But he's been a model prisoner, so, you know, we're going to release him after 15 years.
Yeah, like, you may have this, like, you know, whole psychiatry thing down and whatnot, but... We can't afford to keep him in our prison system any longer, so we're just going to release him back into the world and let him commit more crimes.
Exactly. Even his parole officer knew this, and his parole officer wrote, quote, at the risk of being melodramatic, the writer considers this man to possibly be the most dangerous individual to be released to this community for many years. And he was not wrong.
He was not wrong,
boys and girls. So I'm just going to take a really quick ad break here because we're going to get into Arthur's later life and the greater span of his horrible crime.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back from the ad.
Sup, homies. Are you welcoming? Are you welcoming?
Do you have a welcome mat? Do you offer your guests tea?
Oh my god, yes.
If so, can we come over?
Please, I need new friends. Megan's in Malta. What the fuck am I supposed to do now?
After Arthur's release, his parole officer found it incredibly difficult to place him anywhere. No place wanted him. Like, he's a child killer.
Yeah.
Once local law enforcement were made aware that he'd be moving in, he'd be run out just as quickly. Literally riots in the fucking streets over this man.
Good.
Eventually, he was placed in Binghamton, New York. The dangerous decision was made to not tell law enforcement that he was in town, and his like record was sealed.
That's just the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Literally, just because they can't place him anywhere, they're like, you know what? It's probably fine if we just...
Fine.
Yeah, it's probably okay.
We probably won't regret this decision.
Arthur moved in with a woman named Rose Wally, who had been his pen pal girlfriend during his time in prison.
Girl, no. Look at the state of him. What are you doing with your life? Surely you can do better.
I mean, I should hope that anybody in this world can do better than a child murderer, but here we are, Rose. All right.
Okay. Sweet. Do your thing, Rose.
Now, I read in a few sources that they got married, and then I read in a few that they didn't. So, she was his partner, anyway.
His life partner.
Yeah, and they were settling in together. Arthur got a job packing salads at night, but quickly Arthur got bored, and he started an affair with a woman that he met at work. Her name was Clara Neal, and he borrowed her car.
He is one of the uglier men I've seen in a very long time.
I actually don't know what he looked like when he was young. Let me just...
But sure, by this stage, he can't be that young.
He was about 44, I think.
Yeah, like, he wouldn't look much different to what he looked like in that photo that you sent me.
Oh, he does.
Is he a bit of a looker?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. But he doesn't look like a fucking...
Melted.
Testicle.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I just sent the link in the chat.
Yeah. It's loading, everybody. Okay. Do you know, I can see that he has an edge about him. He has that bad boy look.
I mean, he, because he is a bad boy, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, he's... Like, I wouldn't really consider him good looking, but you know when somebody's not good looking, but they have this, like, bad boy.
I'm not a fucking serial killer, though.
No, like, sweeties, what are you doing? They're probably like, I can change him.
Yeah, no, you can't. He'll
change for me.
Yeah, so he was having an affair with Clara Neal, and he'd borrow her car often, which was a grey Chevy. I think it was like grey Chevy Celebrity. I don't know if that's
something
a car.
Along those lines.
Something with four wheels, and it was grey. On March 23rd, 1988, 27-year-old Dorothy Blackburn's mutilated body was found in the Genesee River by a hunter. Dorothy worked at the time on Lyle Avenue as a prostitute. She had gone with Arthur on the 15th of March to engage in some oral sex. He did solicit her services. Arthur claimed that she had bitten his penis and called him names, and that he flew into a rage, and then he bit her genitals back to be like, it's like, it hurts, see?
How do you then, like it?
Yeah. And then he strangled her before hiding her body near the river. On September 11th, 1989, 27-year-old Anna Steffen's body was found after Arthur had drowned her. And after, this is what he claims, that he couldn't get erection and that she made fun of him. He attacked her and she ran from the car, falling into the water at the river. He got on top of her and held her by the neck until she drowned. By the time her remains were found, they were skeletal. Police created a recreation of what she may have looked like, and her father was able to identify her. The last time she'd been seen was July 8th of that year, and at that time she was 8 months pregnant with her third child.
Oh my god.
Still, police made no connection to these two murders. The women were working as prostitutes at the time, so the police were kind of thinking that they were just unrelated and that they were, quote, normal homicides. Which Brittany Vaughn, that YouTuber, I absolutely love her. She was like, yeah. What kind of men you got walking the streets of Rochester that you think that this is like a normal thing that happens? What kind of men you got going on over there? The next victim was 59-year-old Dorothy Keeler. She was homeless when she met Arthur, and he offered her a job cleaning his and Rose's apartment for X amount an hour, and saying that she could live there. Arthur said that he found out that she was stealing from them, so when he met her down near the river one day, he picked up a log and beat her across the head with it, and then just left her body there. Her body was found on October 21st near Seth Green, which is, I believe, it's like a trail beside a river.
Yeah.
However, there are reports that Dorothy and Arthur were having an affair and had spent the day fishing and having sex. And then Dorothy threatened to tell the other women about the affair, which triggered Arthur and is the reason that he lost his temper and killed her. Like, those are just two different scenarios that I've read. Just wanted to present all of the information.
Yes.
Patricia Ives was a 25-year-old working as a prostitute when her body was found on the 27th of October by a 9-year-old boy who was playing with his friends. Their ball went off into a wooded area and he saw a foot sticking out from underneath a piece of wood. I actually found a Reddit Ask Me Anything that this guy had hosted, and he speaks about the PTSD that he now suffers from the experience.
Yeah, he was 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's so young to, like, first of all, I think you'd have PTSD finding that body now today at like from 27.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, can you imagine being 9?
No, I don't. It's not an experience I'd ever wish on anybody. She had been strangled to death. The next victim was 29-year-old June Stott. June knew Arthur, and one day he saw her out and about and asked her if she wanted to go for a ride. She accepted, and they went somewhere to have sex, apparently. And then he apparently made a comment about her virginity that caused her to start screaming. And Arthur put his hand over her mouth to silence her, and he actually ended up suffocating her. He then cut her from the base of her sternum to her groin area and left her body in the water. Bite marks were apparently found around her groin, and part of her labia was removed. Arthur later claimed that he ate part of her genitals. June had disappeared and reappeared later before, so it took about 3 weeks for her boyfriend to actually report her as missing.
Okay, that's sad.
It is. And then Arthur said that he had cut her like down the middle and opened her like that so that she would decompose faster because he knew her and he wanted to do her that kind of service. Sure.
I think you mean do yourself that kind of service, Arthur.
Yep. You fucking freak. It was after this that the FBI got involved. Police had already been around to the known areas that prostitutes worked and advised them to be on high alert and to be super cautious. One woman did say that she had a John known as Mitch that had been very aggressive with her before. He liked it when she played dead and that kind of a thing. But apparently one day he tried to strangle her and she pulled a knife on him. And he actually kind of seemed to enjoy that. So it's gross. And so she knew his car anyway because he was a regular kind of around the avenue.
Yeah.
The FBI built a profile that this was probably a white man who worked a menial job and had a wife or longtime girlfriend, likely from the area and drove an inconspicuous car and had a history of violent crime. Now they know this and they would have found Arthur if his records had not been sealed and if it had been made known to local police that he was there.
So this is where those people are going to be like, our bad.
Oops, should have said something. Dicks.
Did we not?
I'm pretty sure you don't remember that conversation.
I thought we did. Oh my god.
Oops.
What? Clinic Grammatical error.
Police presence had increased in the area, particularly on Lyle Avenue. In one interview, Arthur said that he was in, actually it was a Dunkin' Donuts, I wrote diner, but it was a Dunkin' Donuts that he spent a lot of time in, actually. And he was having a conversation with the police officer about the killings. And the officer sat there and literally pointed out to him all of the decoys, like all of the police, the plainclothes police officers that were dressed.
What a dumbass officer.
Yeah. Yeah. Arthur really enjoyed seeing the killings being talked about and seeing people be scared. And he would like tell Rose to be careful and he'd walk his neighbors out to their cars. Sick.
So, you're going to hate me. I'm not wearing headphones.
Let's pause. On November 5th, 22-year-old Maria Welch was killed. Arthur's story changed a bit with this one. So he originally said that he caught Maria trying to steal his wallet after he'd picked her up to solicit her services and had brought her down towards the Genesee River.
Yeah.
Later he said that he'd become angry when he realized that she was on her period, so he strangled her and then left her body in some bushes. Her body wasn't found until January 5th, 1990. The next victim was 22-year-old Frances Brown. Her body was found on November 15th. She was last seen leaving Lyle Avenue with the John, Mitch. When her body was found, she was nude apart from a pair of boots. Kimberly Logan, aged 30, was also working as a prostitute when she was killed by Arthur. She had been brutally beaten and had leaves shoved down her throat. Another indicator that would have brought them straight to Arthur if they had known he was there.
If the parole board had done their job properly.
Exactly. 29-year-old Elizabeth Gibson was last seen alive getting into a car on Lyle Avenue. She was found strangled to death on November 25th in Wayne County. This is when the woman that had come forward before, Joanne Van Noorstrand, had actually, the woman who had spoken to police before and told them like that he liked it when she played dead and stuff, she went back to the police and explained what she had seen. She said that she had seen Elizabeth get into the car with this particular John. So she was able to give them then like the physical kind of description and the description. Car's description properly. Yeah.
She was on the ball.
She was on the ball. Fair play to her.
Mm-hmm.
On December 15th, Arthur picked up 32-year-old Darlene Trippy. Arthur's story was that he paid for oral sex, but he couldn't get an erection and Darlene laughed at him. So he strangled her and left her body in some woodlands. And can we just talk about all of his victim blaming tactics that he uses instead of just saying, I wanted to kill someone?
First of all, even if she did laugh at you, was there a need to kill her? Absolutely fucking not. Did you have to go as far as to bite their genitals? No, that's just creepy, you psycho.
He is a total creep. 34-year-old June Cicero was Arthur's next victim. He picked her up and tried to have sex with her before strangling her and throwing her body over a bridge on the Salmon River. He returned a few days later with a handsaw to cut at her vagina so that he could eat it. The last victim was 19-year-old Felicia Stevens. Her body was found on January 3rd when a helicopter was sent out to look for potential victims, as so many women had been reported missing and the police knew, obviously, that there was a serial killer roaming around.
Yeah.
The helicopter noticed the body and flew down low towards it, and they also noticed a grey Chevy parked close by. They got the license plate number and the police followed the car to wherever it was going. It was obviously Arthur.
Shockingly.
They followed Arthur to his girlfriend's, Clara Neal's, workplace, a nursing home, and there they took him in for questioning, but he was not under arrest. He was very calm and helped the police, because he probably knew that if he said anything or got like aggressive, they'd know and be on to him right away.
Yeah, they'd be like, why are you so pressed?
Exactly. Like, he spent plenty of time with police already, and guards and psychiatrists to know how to act.
Yeah.
It didn't take long for him to start singing like a bird, though. Oh my god, like a fucking parakeet or whatever I said he looked like. I didn't even think of that when I wrote that. Lol. and because when police pressed and asked him questions like how often did he see prostitutes, he got pretty mad. And when he was asked, was Rose involved? He answered, no, Rose isn't involved. And I suppose that was kind of like, oh, he's kind of admitting to some shit there.
Yeah, for sure.
So Arthur was finally arrested on January 5th. His trial began in November 1990. He pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity and even allowed himself to be put under hypnosis so that his defense could say that the sexual abuse he suffered as a child, mixed with head trauma, could be the reason for his murderous activity.
No, bro. No. Mm-mm. Okay? Mm-mm. You can't. No. It's too late for you to claim all of that bullshit.
Remember when I said that Arthur kind of just liked to lie for funsies, for the crack?
Yeah. Yar.
It came to light that he had never actually been in active duty when he was in the military, and he had killed nobody.
Lol.
Yeah, he originally said that his body count, like the people that he killed, was like around 40, I think. And then they were like, actually, no, because you were not in active duty. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So he never, apparently, from what I seen and from researched, had
hilarious.
Killed those two Vietnamese women. However, Arthur was found guilty and he was sentenced to 250 years imprisonment. And this was for the 10 murders in Monroe County. He would later stand trial for the one murder in Wayne County, where he pleaded guilty to the murder of Elizabeth Gibson, and he received a further life sentence.
Good.
Exactly. In 1997, he married Clara Neal in prison.
Girl, what are you doing?
I've seen a clip of her where she was like, he's a good man, you have to believe me. No.
Do I though? Because he murdered a bunch of women and children, so.
And admitted it, so let's not, like, let's not do that.
I feel our definition of a good man is extremely different.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I want a guy who buys me flowers and doesn't murder like 14 people, but that's just me.
It's just personal preference.
He made art when he was in prison and sold his paintings to a guy who would then go on to sell them on eBay. And this guy was actually on the Dr. Phil show, and he kind of bragged about his friendship with Arthur and talked about how they were both like hunters of humans. Which, okay.
It's not something I'd be proud of, but...
No, you're basically going on television and telling people
going
that you
on
like...
International television and being like, hey, I'm best friends with the serial killer.
And we're best friends because we both have a bond that we like to haunt people. So you're literally saying you're a serial killer. All right. Sweet. Cool. Anyway, those art privileges got taken away pretty quickly after that.
He ruined his art privileges for his best friend.
No more macaroni art for you, Artie. Macaroni Artie, Artie. Oh, macaroni Artie. Ah. On November 10th, 2008, he complained to officers about a pain in his leg, and then he was taken to Albany Medical Center, where he went into cardiac arrest and died.
Oh, no.
Rough. So sad.
Sucks
oh, God.
For you, Arthur.
Yeah, it really does. Cardiac Cardiac Arthur. I'm so trying so hard. I feel like he's such an easy name to do things with, though. And I just, I'm not finding things.
You're like trying to make it fit so bad.
Yeah, do that. Anyway, that's the end of that case.
Yeah. In all seriousness, he's an asshole.
That is it for today.
If you really liked today's episode, make sure and go check out last week's episode, which was Marianne Cotton. That was also a very, like, I love the oldie cases, like
the really
super
old
oldie.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. They're hard to research because nobody kept records back then.
Yeah.
But yeah. So check that out, and also make sure you are following us on Twitter at Give Us Morgue for updates on new episodes, and on Instagram at Give Us Morgue for also updates on new episodes. And also, we are now finally active on the website.
Yay.
So you can always check that out, which is www.giveusmorgue.com. And there we basically, you'll find the latest episode. And you'll also, we post the episodes in like a blog post type form. So it's basically all the information that we talk about on the mm-hmm. podcast, just, you know, with all of our jokes and shit redacted.
yeah, exactly. And you'll find sources there as well if you're interested in having a look, see to see what we've done
and where we found our info. Yeah, exactly. And if you want to check out our own personal Instagrams, you can do so at MegPyle_ and at Mrs_Neve.
And don't forgetty, if you leave us a review, we will shout you out on one of our episodes. Don't forget.
Subscribe to us on, it does really, really help. And subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We would also really, really appreciate that. And that is all the self-promo we have time for.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Bye.